Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Happy Wednesday, everyone, and welcome to Journey into Oneness, the show that holds the space for a new way of being in the world, a being that is heart-focused, heart-expanding, and at one with all of life. I am your host, Darlene Soa, and I'm so excited that you picked this time to be with us because we have a very special guest today, Linda Slaughter. And Linda will share with us a number of techniques that we can use immediately to grow our intuitive abilities in order to smooth out some of the bumps we encounter on the road of life. But first, as always, I'd like to share a little story with you. Today's story is actually a true story about a remarkable woman who just recently came to my attention. Her name is Gaysene Thompson, and she is one of the top two architects in the world. That's not just one of the top two female architects. That's one of the top two of all the architects in the world. Gaysene is a fifth-generation architect who was born in Africa, raised in Europe, and who had an amazing experience early in life that shaped her perspective not only on architecture but on life in general as well. While she was growing up, she had an opportunity to take sailing lessons at a nearby sailing club, quickly excelled in the sport, and became a skipper during competitive sailboat racing. During one particular race that took place in a rather stormy weather, in which there were over 100 boats competing, she recalls at one point in the race that she suddenly, instantly, became at one with everything around her. All of a sudden, she could read the thoughts of the skipper on the sail 100 yards to her left, and she could read the thoughts of the skipper on the sail to her right as well. And not only that, but she could feel the wind and read what the wind was going to do next and know what direction it was going to change in front of her. She felt absolutely no distinction between herself and the people and the elements around her. It was a really startling experience. And she just surrendered to it and surrendered to the new awareness that she had about being at one with everything and just flowed with the energy. And needless to say, her and her team won the race. But that experience of being one with everything around her just kept in her forefront of her mind. And she shares that while that race was physically grueling, and managing his sail during that stormy weather, emotionally, it was just a breeze, easy and stress-free. And she felt that when you're at one with your surroundings and surrender to the flow of energy, life is so much easier. So she brings this concept of oneness into every architectural project that she designs, spending time first connecting with the land upon which the project will be built, and studying the culture, researching the history, talking to the people, and only then does she develop the structure that is both sustainable for the earth and nurturing for its residents. And it's a structure that supports life in every way possible. So in short, she looks upon architecture as both a science and an art and uses both her left and right brain to create, through her structures, peace, harmony, and oneness in the world. And that's what today's guest does, using both her left and right brain to bring peace, harmony, and oneness in the world through her increasing intuitive abilities that not only she uses in her practice, but that she loves to teach others to do the same. Linda Slaughter began her illustrious career as a graduate of Michigan State University with an emphasis on the social sciences. She later attended the Association of Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, where she took such classes as the Edgar Cayce Legacy, Intuitive Imagination, and the Psychic Intensive. She then returned to ARE for 11 years as part of their Way Showers program, and in that capacity helped to facilitate those very same workshops, leading discussions and answering the many questions. She's continued to hone her intuitive skills, taking workshops on intuition from a number of different psychics, and has facilitated workshops on intuition as well for more than 10 years, mostly at the Healing Touch Center in Farmington Hills, Michigan, but also for small groups in various settings as well. In addition to her training in intuition, she has pursued classes and workshops in the area of energy medicine, using both of these skills to help her clients. So, Linda, welcome to Journey into Oneness.
Well, thank you, Darlene. I'm thrilled to be here with you today.
It sounds like...
Yes?
It sounds like you've had such an exciting journey so far. How did you get started on this intuitive path?
Well, what happened was about 2 months after my husband died years ago, like 20 years ago, I started planning a trip to visit family because I had been limited on what I could do and where I could go for quite a while taking care of him. And the trip timing depended on when my son would be home in Annapolis. I was taking the trip from New York to Florida, and the date he called to tell me which week he would actually be there was the date that in the mail came a brochure from the ARE for this first intuitive conference, and it started the day I would have been leaving my son's home in Annapolis, and I would be heading to Atlanta, which was therefore right on the way. So I said, "Ah, this was meant to be," and it was exactly that, life-changing for me. So fabulous experience, and I listened to the intuitive by jumping in with both feet.
Wow.
So it was fun, and I can't highly recommend taking, you know, workshops down there because they're all wonderful. They don't do those long, it was a week-long class, and they don't do them that long now. They usually do weekends because that's what most people prefer, but I was very lucky.
So just as I'm, in one way you could say, as a whim, getting a brochure and saying, you know, this sounds like it's something I should do. When you got there, did you know immediately that was the place you were supposed to be?
Well, I don't know if I knew it immediately, but I loved every minute of it, and I couldn't get enough of it. So it was almost overwhelming, grueling in a sense, because I would go back to the hotel and just kind of crash for a little bit. But then information would just be flowing through my head at that point of stuff that was going on, and even picking up things that had to do with the ARE, which I didn't know enough about at that point. So it was fantastic.
Now, were you always?
Not that I realized. I didn't think I was psychic or intuitive. I thought that was something that, you know, people had a gift for, and not everybody could do it. I did get knowings occasionally, something, but they were mundane things like, I needed to go buy an outfit to wear to the party, and I, on my way, immediately realized that whatever I picked out, somebody else would be wearing it. And that happened. And things like, I always left my razor on the side of the bathtub, but one day I said, as I went in a hurry past the bathroom, I should move that. But I don't have time. It's okay. It's always been there. That was the day my son decided to play with it and cut himself. So I picked up emotions also from people. And if I said anything to them, they would look at me puzzled and say, "How do you know that?" And I would say, I can see it in your eyes. Not realizing nobody else seemed to be doing that. But it wasn't a constant thing. It was kind of hit and miss.
And this was before you even took that work-long workshop.
Oh, absolutely. One time, probably 20 years before I took that workshop, I happened to be driving somewhere, and the traffic was heavy, and I was on about a four-lane road all going one direction, and this motorcyclist was kind of weaving in and out, but not dangerously slow, and as he pulled up next to my window. I glanced at him and immediately knew he needed a helmet right now. And about 2 seconds later, the road divided in half. He went to the left, I went to the right. So I didn't think anything more about it, except the next morning when the newspaper arrived, there was a picture of him sprawled on the cement that was taken. They gave the location and the time of his accident, so I knew exactly, I could recognize his outfit, that that was the man I had seen 5 minutes before his accident. But that was the first time I really ever noticed that I got something that was important and I had no way of telling the person.
Right. So, and that was before you took that first class.
Oh, long time before I took that class, yes.
Now, right now, do you do psychic readings?
I have not been doing them. I was uncomfortable with doing them because it always felt like a test, which it shouldn't. It's fun. I got more comfortable with it after I did more, but I have really directed my intuition work towards doing the workshops, which I love doing. I had a teaching degree from Michigan State, and this is one way I can use that. And I also direct it towards the healing work I do more so than doing readings, but they're fun. I always enjoyed them, and it's so I can, but I prefer not to.
So basically, it sounds like you have the belief that you'd rather empower others to develop their own intuition than depending on you or another psychic.
Absolutely, and the truth is, we shouldn't depend on somebody else for our own information. It's best if we get it ourselves, because what you're doing by it's good to go to get a reading, but you're giving away your power in one way. But if you do get a reading, you should always get two so that you can compare them, because no one is 100% accurate, and we tend to give our if somebody gives us something and they tell us something that we know is true, then we tend to believe everything they say is true. So you do need to be a little skeptical sometimes.
Okay, so tell us about some of the benefits of developing your own intuition, and why should we take the time to do this?
Well, one thing big in the world right now is safety. And so when you're traveling, you can use it to scan the vehicle you're going to be in. I remember years ago, and I had already taken a couple of these classes, but I was had gone to Arizona to visit some other friends that I had met at the ARE, and on the trip back, and I was with one of those friends sitting in the airport, and my heart started racing. I became very anxious, and so she kind of said, take a deep breath. Is it something about the plane? Very quietly asking me questions so I could focus. And no, it's not the plane. Well, is it the person sitting next to you? No, it's not the person. Is it the one man across the aisle from you? No, it's not them. Is it something that's wrong with the airplane? No, that doesn't feel like it. And she asked me several more questions along the line, and I kept saying no. And then I looked down at my feet and realized that between my legs, between my knees, was a shopping bag full of rocks and crystals I had bought at the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show that week. And so picked that bag up and moved it a foot away, and all of a sudden I felt better. But it gave me the tools to think about every time I fly, checking about the plane and checking about the people I'm with. I also have a cousin who's very intuitive, and she told me this story about when she was driving back from Florida, pulling a trailer with household goods in it, and they pulled into a motel, and she immediately sensed danger, and she said, we can't stay here. So they went on until she found a place where she felt safe. She was concerned about the goods in the car and the trailer being left overnight where she couldn't see them. But nowadays, too, you can use it to scan or to ask whether one of your drinks at a bar is safe to drink. There's issues with people putting drugs in things. And I use it for driving all the time. I scan the road around me and hone in on which driver I might need to pay attention to and be more careful of, give them more space, that type of thing. And you can use it for making decisions and choices. I use it regularly when I'm buying gifts for people. All my family lives far away. I don't always know exactly what they would like. And I go in a store and I just give myself yes and no questions. Is this the perfect gift for so-and-so? And we need to listen to the little voice in our head. So the majority of people, and they've been polled on this, the biggest regret they have, not listening to their intuition on should they go through with this marriage. So even dating the people, and you can use it in your job. So there's lots of questions if you're hiring someone you can't legally ask, but you can use your intuition. Are they honest? Are they the perfect fit for the people they will be working with or for the job itself? I had a friend who worked for a bank, and her job was to pick out the grants that were being requested and pick out the ones that would be successful. She just held the paperwork and scanned it with her hand, feeling for exceptionally great energy. And would they be able to do what they were hoping to do if they got the grant money? And she said one time one of her bosses walked in the room while she was holding the paper and running her hand over for the energy, and he just said, "I don't want to know," and turned around and walked back out. But she was very successful at what she did that way. And I'm sure there's lots of other ways you can figure out how to use it best for your jobs.
It sounds basic. You can use it every minute of your life, and that's just with taking a broader aspect of this. It's just connecting to the energy that's all around you and paying attention to how you feel connecting to that. Like some people may get butterflies in their stomach, or some people may get a little neck pain if something isn't right. It's all individual. Is that right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, a lot of people will say they get a gut feeling, but they don't want to say it's intuitive or psychic, that kind of thing. So it's a matter of the words we use that are acceptable in our field.
Okay, let's get down to some of the nitty-gritty over here. What can we do at home to improve our intuitive ability or to hone our own individual skills?
Okay, so Edgar Cayce said that the best thing to do first off was to set an ideal. And that's just a way of living. But what happens is that when you are working on your own spiritual self-improvement, intuition is one of the gifts of grace that develops as you are working on yourself in general. As you progress along the spiritual path, it'll come automatically. And he also said it was best to work in small groups. So get a couple, two, three friends together sometimes. And you can practice, like, giving each other a photo of someone they know well enough to answer questions about it. And you can see what information you get. You can use an object from someone else or something that's an antique and pick it up and see what you feel and what information you get from that. It's important to just be relaxed, letting it flow, not worrying about it, but always put yourself in neutral. And by putting yourself in neutral, you don't care what the information is. You don't care what the answer is. Because if you care, you will get what you want, not what will be.
Important.
Yes. So when you're out in public, one of the great things to do is to be a people watcher. So when you're standing in line or in a restaurant, oh, pick out somebody and make up a story about them. It's a way of letting your imagination flow. You may be getting true stuff, but you might also just be making it up. But that's okay, because that's how it gets started. It's just a way to use your imagination in any other kind of situation. You can also at home make up little things that you can do, such as guessing what the headlines on the paper will be the next day. How many pieces of mail are you going to get today? Where a lost object is. Just stop and put yourself in neutral and concentrate on that object and ask.
Okay.
Where,
Can we delve in a little bit of that? How do you recommend we put ourselves in neutral?
Well, one of the things is to think about stuff that doesn't matter to you. If you're someone that has no interest in sports, think about how I don't care who wins the game tomorrow. Think about I don't care what my neighbor's wearing today. I don't, you know, that type of thing. To recognize that it doesn't matter what the answer is.
Okay, so it's thinking about something that you have absolutely no investment in whatsoever.
Yes, and feeling how that feels, okay? I almost always start it with taking several deep breaths and telling myself to relax.
Okay.
And kind of as you would like do when you're going into meditation, because meditation is a good way to do it. You're relaxed and you're not so much in control.
And you mentioned something that was really important, and that is when you get yourself in neutral, you know, like I don't care what they're selling in the grocery market, or I don't care what's down this aisle, to notice how your body feels so that you can then notice the changes in it.
Yes.
When something happens.
Yes, absolutely. And you also have to learn to recognize the difference between the small, clear voice in your head or wherever you get your feelings and the ego voice that's telling you what you want or what they want, the ego wants.
Okay, how do you differentiate between those?
That takes practice, a little bit of practice, because you learn to recognize the difference in the sound of it or the feel of it. And if it is, if you're getting the, I really want this to happen, or I really want this outfit because I like the color or something, is it because it's the best one for you, or is it because you just want it? And then why? And you just have to practice with that a little bit. Or a lot.
Okay. Now, one of the things, and I know I've used this before in my workshops, is making up stories. And you had talked about making up stories of people that, you know, see. And I've used it where you'd have a group of people, you know, let's say 10 or 12 people, and one person starts a story, talks for about a minute or two, and then the next person continues it and goes on.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always interesting to see, the way the story meanders. But one of the things that does, making up stories, is it really does help you increase your creative ability.
Yes.
Imagination, your imagination. So does that kind of like go hand in hand? As you increase your imagination, you can also increase your intuitive ability?
Yes, absolutely, because intuitive ability is, part of that is being like a child. It's creative, it's imagining, it's playing, it's fun. And when you get into that type of state, the intuition will just flow a little bit easier. So
okay.
It's always a good thing to think in playfulness. And I've done the same type of exercise that you were talking about with the storyline being continued. We've done that with past lives as an intuitive flow for fun.
Wow.
And, of course, there's no way of checking whether that's true or not, but it's a fun way to make the information flow. And you can be touching on truth, but you don't get confirmation on that usually.
Right. Yeah, that would be pretty difficult to get confirmation.
Yeah.
So that if you're really hung up in, I don't know if I'm really getting it or not, you know, as far as focusing on the intuition or directly on the intuition, one way to sort of like back in into it is to say, I'm just going to imagine things and let my imagination flow. And that gets you thinking differently.
Yes, absolutely, because what happens is fear is a big block, or the left brain. And so when you stop and say, well, I'm just playing, I don't care, I'm just guessing. You can be very spot on with what you come up when you're just guessing, because it gives yourself permission to come up with the information.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, one of the things I heard, can you talk more about this, is working with the connections between the left and the right brain. We're so left-brained in this society. And a lot of us have an underutilized right brain. I've heard of lots of different exercises, some like envisioning figure eights going back and forth between your right and your left brain. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, absolutely. And it is that all of that kind of thing is a very, very good thing. And the left brain is the creative side and the playful side. So by letting yourself feel like a child, you're getting yourself into the right brain. Part of this with intuition is one of my teachers was what is a psychic, and she was studied by researchers for 7 years to find out how she got her information and how correct she was. And she learned in very great detail how to explain what the left brain was doing, and it made it easy for someone like me who was on the logical left brain side most of the time to then relax. Okay, I get it. Now I can let that go. What happens with the left brain people is they get the information and then they go, yes, but. I did that all the time. And you have to learn, we call them yes, butters, but what happens is you have to let go of, yes, you got it, but still pay attention to it. Most people who say yes, but will say that's impossible, so therefore I dismiss it. And it is with constant feedback, learning to trust, you get past that problem. I was a great one for yes, butting all the time. And it became just a practice. Learning to trust. Oh, I was right. Like with the motorcyclist, I didn't know. I found out I was right. And so that information then becomes a little more comforting. Like, okay, maybe I can trust it. Maybe I can listen. But also,
so it could be,
looking
at the reverse part, that if we ever hear ourselves say, yes, but, that could be a red light saying, it is true, and this is my left brain just trying to dismiss it.
Yes, absolutely. Our ego gets in the way all the time like that. One of the things you can do before you go into trying to get your answers is actually talk to your ego and say, I'm going to set you aside, give you a TV to look at for a few minutes. I'll be right back. Don't worry. And you have something to do, and I'm coming back for you when I get done with this. And that kind of information helps. I mean, it's a little story you tell yourself, and it like lets you be okay, and it seems to work for a lot of people. It's whatever ends up, how it flows for you, and it does help. I love getting the answers, but the one thing you have to pay attention to, when you ask your question that you want an answer to, it's the very first thing that pops in your head, no matter how outrageous it sounds, that is the intuitive thought coming in. And that's what we dismiss.
Okay, so it's really paying attention to the very, very, very first thought.
Yes. Yes, that's a big part of it.
Okay, wow. Well, there's a heck of a lot we could do. Figure eights, or another thing I've heard about is cross-lateral work.
Yes, any of those kind of things. You can march in place by pointing your knees off sideways instead of straight ahead, along with your hands as you're swinging them. across the body, brain gym exercises, which are probably available on the internet, are also all along that line of helping connect the left and right brain together. And it's being whole balanced that you get your best psychic information, not just totally right-brained, because we have to function in this left-brain world. So
okay.
The psychics who are very, very strongly only right-brained, they might be very good at giving you information, but they can't function in the real world. Their checkbooks will be a mess. They'll have all sorts of other problems. So you can get the same information by being balanced.
And
accessing
something
both.
like figure eight or the cross lateral work where you go from the left side to the right side of the body with the arms or the legs, that helps you maintain balance.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. Okay, for those that may have tuned in late, this is Darlene Soa. You're listening to Journey into Oneness, and our guest today is Linda Slaughter, an accomplished intuitive who is giving us tons of tips on how we can increase our intuitive ability. Let me ask you this, Linda. What's the biggest thing that stops us from getting information?
Fear. Fear number one. We're afraid we'll be right. We're afraid we'll be wrong. We're afraid of rejection or ridicule. And all of those, they don't matter once you really get the right information. So I've had to learn. I don't care what people think. I am happy and proud of what I do. And it's a matter of getting comfortable with things, but it's also a matter of changing the words. So when people say, oh, well, that's weird, no, it's amazing. You just change words. One of my teachers who used to work with Fortune 500 companies doing intuitive-type exercises to get them thinking the way they do anyway naturally and when they're successful would always be introduced not as a psychic but as somebody who was like an innovative thinker or a creative thinker. She had all sorts of terms that she got introduced by, had nothing to do with intuitive or psychic, because that would be a turnoff to a lot of people. So it's the words we use. So you know, it's all of what we were just talking about: the terminology, the attitudes, the fear, the stuck in the left brain side of it. And there's all sorts of things we can do to change that. Again, it's the playfulness we mentioned and the word changes and the feedback. And all of that will get you into trusting what you get. And the trust can build quickly or you can, you know, fight it. So
surrendering to that.
Yes.
Surrendering to that doubt. You know, to that fear.
Yes, and learning, you know, and once you get the good feedback that, oh, I was right that time, you begin to be more confident. And then, you know, you can listen and trust what you're getting.
And it's also, like you were saying, I think that's important to use the different words that identifies the process. Instead of saying psychic, somebody, you may tell someone, oh, I'm going to see a psychic, and they, woo, you know, may say, well, that'd be pretty dangerous. But I'm going to speak with someone who's really an innovative thinker.
Yes. You know, creative ideas are coming through. So, you know, it's all what we get. And everybody is to some extent psychic or intuitive. They don't always recognize it, or they don't believe they can do it. I didn't know I was, but it developed, and it just is. The more you do it, the better you get, because you learn
to
listen.
That's just like any other skill. It takes practice.
Absolutely. Yes.
Wow. And every single one of us has a right brain and a left brain, so every single one of us has somewhere hidden in our DNA the ability to be more intuitive.
Absolutely. And it's fun to learn. It's fun to practice. And that's what I like about doing workshops, because it's just, it's people get so excited. And
wow.
So do I. I get excited watching them, because I remember when I was doing it for the first time. So, you know, it's playful. And
you can see the light
that,
in their eyes.
Pardon?
You can see the light up in their eyes when they get it.
Yes, absolutely. And it's exciting and fun. And that's the way all life should be. So, you know, I like going with it like that.
Yeah, you really do make it sound easy.
It actually is, because it's just a matter of relaxing and playing.
So, you know, talk a little bit about accuracy when you're giving a reading. I know you had mentioned before that it's best to get two readings to double check the accuracy.
Yes, because no one is 100%. My one teacher, Carol Ann Lieros, who I mentioned was in a research lab for 7 years, they proved that she was 92 to 97% accurate on precognition, which is future events. Now,
wow.
I'm sure there's days where that might not be true, but that was, out of the 7 years, that seemed to be her range. So people who claim they're, you know, 100%, you want to be a little skeptical, because nobody is all the time. And things can easily go wrong when we interpret. The information we get is usually in symbols or metaphors, and you don't always know how to interpret those. The very first time at that first class I went to, the very first question I had to do for someone else, and it was only one question, all I saw was a toy boat. Now, what does that mean? I had no clue. I took it that it must be a symbol, but I didn't have any idea what it meant. The young man I was doing that for, he didn't either, but he was smart enough to go to the bookstore when we had a break, and he went in and picked up one of the books that was on dream symbols, et cetera, and looked it up. And he came back and told me, oh, it meant alone. And that's what he was in his life at that point. And so was I. So often we get the mirror-mirror effect when we're doing readings for somebody else. You get someone with the same issue you have. But it's learning how to interpret all those symbols and metaphors that becomes a problem, because you can always misinterpret them. I recommend that you get a book or get a website that you can rely on. And also the books on animals, for animal spirits or animal speak, that type of thing, because it will give you suggestions that might be right. But you need to, like, which one of them feels right, because they give you several interpretations. I've seen some with 10 or more suggestions. And it's always what feels right to the person that the reading is for. And I remember one time, years ago, and I was sitting with a group of the psychics from the ARE, and we were kind of helping each other with issues, and I had developed rosacea, and it was having a severe outbreak at that point. And so it was one of the things I was trying to figure out how to fix. And everybody's first reaction was, well, what are you not facing? And I said, that I don't think that's it. That doesn't feel right. I think I've looked at everything. And everybody was quiet for a minute, and then one of them said, what are you trying to put a good face on? And it was like I was stabbed to the heart. That was it.
Mm.
But you could hear the slight change in the way it's worded and the difference between face on and not facing. And so I always recommend that people look at the possibilities, but maybe they need to be tweaked a little bit. You know, a word change or something, and then it's right. So another way things can go wrong is telepathy. We can pick up on the thoughts of others. I remember one time we were playing with past life readings, and I was doing a past life reading for one of these gals. And she said to me, after the story was like rolling like a movie in front of my eyes, and I was explaining it, and all of a sudden she stopped me and said, "Do you know what you're doing?" And I kind of went, apparently not. And she said, "You're telling me the story of the book I'm reading right now." I was getting telepathy. Okay? I wasn't doing a true intuitive reading at that point. I was picking up her thoughts. And this can happen just so many times. It's Carol Ann Lieros had a client one time that came in wanting to know when her husband was going to die because she knew it was. She had been to several psychics, and they had all agreed that, you know, that, yes, he was going to be dying soon. So Carol Ann, being pretty good at precognition, put him on her timeline, and she could see him in 5 years, and she could still see him in 10 years, and it went like that. And the lady was quite upset. And turns out, she was in a bad marriage, and she was a staunch Catholic who absolutely wouldn't believe in divorce. And that was the only way she could get out of the marriage from her standpoint. So all the other psychics had picked up on her telepathy that he was going to die.
So he was going to die from her life.
Yes.
If she would divorce him.
Yes, but it wasn't going to happen, actually, so she was going to have to deal with it in some other way. But that's how things can happen. You can pick up what somebody really wants, especially if they're really strongly putting that energy out there. So, you know, you do have to be skeptical and check it out. Does it feel true? That type of thing.
And when you go to a psychic, to keep in mind that they may be reading what is prominent in your thoughts.
Yes, and so you want to put yourself in neutral, okay? You put yourself in neutral while they're reading, so you're not projecting.
So you're not wishing, I hope they really connect with this, or I hope they tell me this. That's a good time to get into neutral as well.
Yes, yes, because you should want the truth rather than what you hope.
Now, one of the other things that you mentioned is dream work and symbols. You know, that oftentimes we get intuitive responses from symbols around us. And it's important to pay attention to the symbols and to our dream work as well.
Yes. Yeah, so you get a lot of answers in your dreams, but the only way to pay attention to that is have a little notebook next to your bed and write down your dream when you first awaken, and then mark it with a date and any other things like your feelings and so on. And then later on and even months later, you can go back to it and rethink it, because by then some of this stuff will have happened, if it was going to. Because dreams can give us all kinds of information. And sometimes they're just replaying the stuff you were doing that day, but that's only part of it. So it's very valuable.
That's another thing we can do to increase our intuition, is really pay attention to our dreams.
Yes, absolutely. It's in fact, some people just do that. That's their main way of getting information, is what they have in their dreams. And it's the same thing. You still need some symbols and metaphors to be translated, but you can get real good at it if you do it regularly.
I have like 15 questions in my mind.
Well,
so many things to practice on. Excited about taking this route. One of the things that I do an awful lot, I love going to the woods, and I like to take, in fact, I was at the woods early this morning, and I get so much information there from depending on what animals I see, what birds I see. So that's another way, a really fun way of increasing your intuition, is taking a walk in the woods, taking note of what you see, and then, like you said, there's an animal speak book. or using the internet to find out a little bit more about what you saw that day.
Yes, and the truth is all those plants and trees in the woods can talk to us if we listen. And I know that. I will go out and lean up against a tree just to kind of like tell him how much I appreciate his being in the yard. And then one day, a year or two ago, we were going to be having a severe storm coming through with extremely high winds. And the newscasts were predicting that there would be, you know, a lot of tree damage and so on. And I went out and leaned up against several of the big trees, and they communicate through their roots to the other trees. So I told them, if you are going to fall during this storm, please fall in the direction away from my house. Please don't hit my house. And sure enough, one huge tree fell. It broke off about 5 feet above the ground, thank goodness, because if it had broken off lower, it would have hit my house. It came down and brushed the windows, hit a little bit of the deck, but didn't do any damage. And
wow.
I always felt that really helped for me to have gone out and talked to them, because it could have easily come down. Even a half a foot more would have done some big damage.
Oh, my gosh. My gosh.
So, you know, everything, I mean, I was just communicating with them through my mind. I wasn't speaking out loud, but I was feeling connected, and we can do that. It's one of the ways also to get very grounded if you're not. And intuitive psychic people are usually not grounded at all, and they just go hug a tree. Yeah, that's an old funny saying, but it actually has a very good basis in life.
Mm. And the tree's probably like that too.
Especially if we're coming at it with love and loving thoughts instead of
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boy, with all of these tips and techniques you've given us, you do make it sound so easy. Absolutely anyone can do this.
Absolutely anybody can do it, because it's just about having fun and playing. And one of the things most people haven't heard about is Carol Ann Lieros also, when she was in New York, had a workshop one time. And at the end of it, a woman came up to her with her husband, and she said, "You wouldn't know, but my husband is blind. He only came because I brought him along. I wanted company." And when you were doing the aura scanning and telling, he was really excellent at getting the colors around the auras, and yet he can't see at all. And it got her thinking that there might be other things that she could do to help the blind to see in different ways. And so she started a workshop, because, of course, the blind people that this fellow knew and the other ones were thrilled. And she was teaching them to sense the energy. They were taught remote viewing, which at the time she called it mind travel. But the military's term of remote viewing, that's another way of changing the word so it's more acceptable. One of the gals was a blind bowler. You know, she had had sight early on in her life, but had been blind for quite a long time. And the blind bowlers had a convention in Washington, D.C. one year, and her husband always went with her. And he couldn't go that time, and she was very nervous about traveling by herself. And she sat down and remote viewed what the hotel room would look like. When she got to D.C., the bellboy took her up to a room, and as he was describing everything, she kept saying, "No, this is wrong. This isn't the right room. Everything's in the wrong place." And she finally convinced him to call down to the desk. And sure enough, all the blind bowlers were on the same floor. She was on the same wrong floor at that time. He took her up to the other room, and she just relaxed. Ah, yes, everything's as she had envisioned it. And also during that time frame, she decided she'd call home, let her husband know she was doing fine. She'd do it by remote viewing, make sure he was doing okay. And she got to her house in her mind, and she couldn't get in the door because the steps were missing. Well, it didn't make sense to her. But when he picked her up at the airport, she started telling him the story on the way home that how she had tried to go to the house and she couldn't get in the door because the steps were missing, and he got very quiet. And he said, well, you know, the steps weren't in good repair, and I thought I would surprise you while you were gone, and while you were doing that, there were no steps at the door. So
Oh my gosh.
Made a believer out of him. But she also worked with blind children, and they were really good at learning to sense energy. One of the things they were scared about was getting separated from their parent when they were out, like, shopping or something. So she taught them how to sense their parents' energy in a room filled with other people so they could figure out where to go. She taught them, again, the same thing with mind-traveling remote viewing. And one of the teenagers was so good at it that she was actually featured on a TV show back in the 70s, which I forget the name of now, but it was popular at the time. And she was in New York. The house, the address she was given was in California. And they filmed her doing the reading for what the house looked like, and they interspersed it on the TV show with what the house actually did look like. And the young gal was remarkably accurate with the description.
Wow.
So, and that's a thing we can use, too, for going places and doing things, you know, being more comfortable.
It involves us paying attention to our inner sight,
yes.
Not what we see with our physical eyes.
Yes. So I hope you all have a lot of fun with trying out these things. All you have to do is it's intention. Intention is the key. And then learning to trust and practice.
And not giving up.
Absolutely.
Not giving up. Because I imagine that if I tried it out, you know, right now, I would not be as successful as, nowhere near as successful as you, because you've worked on it very religiously for many, many years.
Yeah,
so
but you might be surprised. You might be very surprised at how fast you are accurate.
That would be
a pleasant surprise.
That would be a pleasant surprise. I guess you just don't put in, not to put any limits on yourself. You never know.
That's right.
Oh, that is. Well, I'll tell you, Linda, we've just about run out of time. I know you've got so many more stories to tell, and I do want to give people your contact information and let them know if you have any workshops scheduled. But before that, is there any other one big thing that we haven't covered that you'd like to state about?
I think we covered pretty well just about everything. So
good. Well,
yeah.
Do you have any workshops scheduled?
I do not at this time. I just gave one last month at the Healing Touch Center and in Farmington Hills, and I do those there about once or two, maybe even sometimes twice a year. So people can send me an email with in the subject line something about intuition, so I'll know that it's not a spam thing coming in. And also, if you have a bunch of or a few friends that would like to get together, give me a call and we can, you know, see if I can work something out timing-wise to get with you on that. It's a fun way to practice.
So your email is ljslaughter, S-L-A-U-G-H-T-E-R, @att.net.
Yes.
And they could call you as well?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They can call me at home.
At 810-984-5884.
Yes.
So, again, the phone number is 810-984-5884. And the email is ljslaughter, S-L-A-U-G-H-T-E-R, @att.net. Well, Linda, thank you so very much for a powerful and insightful discussion. I'm really anxious to practice some of these techniques and to tune in more to my natural intuitive abilities.
Well, great, and have fun with it.
Yeah, I will. Now, one of the things that we usually do that I usually do at the end of these talks is focus on a nonprofit that I'd ask all the listeners to just send a lot of love and energy to. I do that for a couple of reasons. One, because there are so many individuals and so many wonderful nonprofits that are working tirelessly to help the world a more loving and compassionate place. And knowing about them is kind of like a balance from all the negative stories that we usually hear in the papers or on the news. So it just makes me feel good to know that there are lots of wonderful, wonderful good things that are happening. And the nonprofit that I want to talk about today is something that I know, Linda, that you're associated with, and I have been in the past as well, and that's the Healing Touch Center in Farmington, Michigan. The Healing Touch Center is a tax-exempt nonprofit, 501c3, that is run entirely by volunteers and dedicated to expanding the awareness of healing touch as an integrative, complementary means of maintaining health of body, mind, and spirit. And it's both a teaching facility for those pursuing formal training in the Healing Touch Certification Program, as well as a treatment center offering Healing Touch treatments to the community at large. And it also offers workshops such as Linda's that are open to the public as well. So if you're in the area in Michigan, in southeast Michigan, around Farmington Hills, feel free to stop by and check out the Healing Touch Center. And for everyone else, send them lots of love and energy this next month and gratitude and appreciation for the good work that they are doing. You can contact the Healing Touch Center at area code 248-788-5808. Or their website is www.healingtouchcenter.info. That's healingtouchcenter.info. It's a wonderful, wonderful organization. I've been involved with them for many years, and they are a great source for the alternative healing modalities, for introducing you to them and experiencing what a treatment is like. They're just absolutely phenomenal. I don't know, Linda, if you want to speak anything. I know you've been experienced with them as well.
Yes, and I they're open for treatments on Wednesday mornings from 9 to 12 and Wednesday evenings 7 and 8 and also on Saturday mornings from 9 to 12. And you can walk in, but it's better to make an appointment because it's all volunteers to make sure that we'll have enough volunteers there to, so you won't have to be waiting. And it's one of my favorite places to be in this world. Everybody is kind and loving, and we practice with a kind and loving heart for everyone who comes through. So come join us.
It is. I remember one of the first times I've been to the center, the energy is just so comforting and so relaxing. It's a beautiful, beautiful place to be. It really, really is. So this hour today has really, really gone by fast. In closing, if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can contact me, Darla, at DARSTAR, the number one, at sbcglobal.net, or visit my website at www.highervisionfitness.com. It has been an absolute joy and a pleasure to be with you this hour, and I want to leave you with one parting thought. Remember, you are a shining light, a radiant star, a gift to the world, right now, just the way you are. So bask in that luminosity, and while doing that, remember also, enjoy the beauty that is both within and Namaste.